I started something last week that I probably made a mistake in doing. I started a series on Hebrews 4:12, and I said I would do part of it Sunday, part of it Wednesday night, and the rest of it today. Well, our crowd got smaller on Wednesday night, and it's gotten smaller today. So I can't blame it on the weather. I don't know what we will blame it on, but I'm glad that you are here. We've been, this series was the inspired Word of God. And the Word of God is something that ought to breathe on all of us and cause us to open our minds, our hearts, unto God. Now, let's just read this morning. I've been reading Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2, 11 and 12. But this morning, I'm going to do 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quicker and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, God's word is one thing that I want to say this morning. It is indestructible. I don't know of anything that has been given that has weathered the storms, the times, and whatever else may have come up on it, like the Word of God has weathered all things. And in this second part of this inspired word, we find that he says that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it penetrates to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. Now you think about that. That's sharp. That is sharp. Even the joints and the marrow. How in the world can God make that statement? And only God can make it and it be true. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and verse 25, Peter wrote that flesh is just like the grass, passes away. But the word of the Lord stands forever. It doesn't go away. It stands. Most of us spend more time trying to make this flesh look beautiful than we ever dare to spend on the reading of God's Word. We see that through the years. People are just getting more and more into the flesh. I saw a man and a woman that I figure were man and woman. I don't know. They were holding hands in a grocery store the other day. And honest to God, I couldn't tell what was flesh and what was tattoos. And I could not help, and I'm not supposed to judge, but I could not help but wonder what in the world those two people really looked like. You know, it is beyond my imagination how people, and I could tell those people didn't have much by the way they were acting and the things they were doing. And I wondered if somebody just gave them all of those tattoos free. Yeah, they must have got them free. It's kind of like Joe DiMaggio that was center fielder for the New York Yankees. At one time, he married Marilyn Monroe. And it was said, now true or not, I don't know, but it was said that the morning after their honeymoon, that he almost passed out when he saw her without makeup. Now, he evidently loved her because they went their separate ways. And it was said that plumb on up until her death, he carried roses and placed them on her grave. He made sure that there were roses for people to see on that grave. He loved that woman, evidently. I don't know. But Jesus himself said that heaven and earth, in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Now, this is the first point that I made last Sunday. The Word of God, it's my favorite. And it's a lot of people's favorite, the Word of God. It means something. It is real. Through the years, there have been many Bibles that have been burned. There have been many writers or translators of the Bible that have been burned through the years. When I was reading this and studying this, I've got a Bible here that is mostly Scotch tape. You can't see it, but I got it put together with Scotch tape, and I'm wondering, what in the world am I going to do with it? I don't want to burn it. I don't want to throw it away. And I've got others in my library that's the same way. I mean, I've had them for years. I don't want to part with them. But I got to do something with them, because I'm honestly telling you the truth. If you was to look at this Bible, you'd be astonished at the Scotch tape that is on the pages holding them together. They have been made, the Bible has been made to condense versions. And through the years, I have seen a lot of these condensed versions. They have not only condensed the Bible. A preacher, I heard him preaching in revival for me. He said that he went to the same seminary that I did, Southeastern. And he said that he was walking behind this preacher one day, and evidently they were going from one classroom to the other, and sometimes you got to walk a pretty good ways over into another building. And he said every little bit, that boy would tear out a page and throw it down. Well, he went along, picked it up. And he did that all the way through till they got in the other building. He got to investigating, and he found out that young preacher's wife had recently told him, "Honey, I do not want to be a pastor's wife any longer." So the guy was reading the scripture, and everything that he thought pertained to him and his wife, he was tearing it out and throwing it down. I guess the man thought if his wife had given up and was not going to stick with him, the best thing for him to do was just tear it out of the Bible. Well, you know, a lot of people, they may not tear it out, but they just ignore it. If they don't like it, they go on to something else. The Bible today can be found in many languages, in various parts of the world. We must conclude that the Bible is under the direction of God. That's the only way that I can decipher that the Word of God has stood all of these years. It's the only way. And God is the God of the whole universe. Everywhere you go, God is there. You can't go anywhere that God doesn't know all about it. Another thing that I wanted to say this morning, not only is the Word of God indestructible, but the Word of God is powerful. It endures. The Bible said, clean on through time to the end of the age. Now, I'm not going to speculate when that is. God knows, and only God knows. But it's going to happen. One type of sword was used in biblical days. It was wasn't a long sword, it was a short sword, and it had two edges. And it was very, very sharp. I would compare it to a double-edged razor. A double-edged razor blade. You don't see many of them anymore, but they still are around. Now, the thing was, that thing would cut going in, and it would cut coming out. God knew exactly what he was putting into motion, how he was setting it up the way he wanted it to be. Indestructible. All of these years, when people tell me they are frowning on the King James Version of the Bible, I realize that there are things that have been discovered in recent years that would help intensify the Word of God. But were all of those people wrong that wrote the Bible for 400 or 500 years, and people, that's what they had to go by, that's what they read? The Word of God hasn't changed. And when we're ready, he'll give it to us. I'm not ready for it all at one time. You may be. I went to school with a guy, and he was like me. He was lucky to make C and B on his report card. He went to to a Bible school, and they found out he had a photostatic mind. Whatever he read, he could quote it verse for verse.
I couldn't do that. I just never been that apt to it. And eventually, I heard people say he'd lost his mind. He'd gone crazy. He's religiously lost it. He hadn't lost nothing. He had found it. He had found a thing of the teaching of the Word of God. When Peter got up to preach on the day of Pentecost, I would like to have been there. When anybody would get up in this day and time, I would like to be there if it was anything similar to what it was when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Because people were crying out with conviction, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Would you think that they'd gone mad or gone crazy if in your church people were to stand and cry out, "Brother, what should I do?" What would we do? Would we just mark them off and say, "Hey, they gone crazy. They ain't nothing in them no more. They've lost it." No. The Bible says that Peter stood and said, "What we need to do is repent and be ye baptized for the remission of your sins." When in the world are we going to cry out? What would we do? What can I do? Somebody said I needed to repent. Ain't got nothing to repent for. That's what most people are thinking. Folk, we all have. We've all got things that we need to repent for. Because you see, the Word of God teaches me that God goes right into the very center of our hearts, our lives. And He penetrates us and He convicts us. Friend, if you don't have no conviction, something's wrong with you. If it's me or you or whoever it is, if we don't have no conviction, say something wrong. And we need to ask ourselves, on our knees if need be, "Lord, what is it that I need to repent for? Something is not right." Now, I don't know about you, but I may not have known altogether what was right and wrong when I started school. Because we didn't have all these extra schools like they do now. Didn't have all of that. But I knew not to take something that didn't belong to me. I was out in the country, didn't have nothing. I had everything I needed. I had love for my brothers and sisters, my mom and dad, and they did for us. But let me tell you something. It was hard to walk in those classrooms and those town people had apples
to munch on,
or a banana, or they bring the teacher an apple.
Sometimes, let me tell you, I'll be honest, I wanted to get one of those apples. Because the only apples we ever had was some off-brand.
Didn't have the yellow delicious and the red delicious. We don't have them now either. They have tucked those things and mowed them down to where they don't even taste like an apple anymore. Just like eating nothing. Just like eating nothing. Something's wrong, folk. God is saying that my word is going to stand. And it's going to stand throughout all the ages. In Revelations 19:13, we find that Jesus is talking about returning at the end of the age. And the Bible says in Revelations that he is wearing a robe-like garment. It's dipped in blood. And from his mouth is a sword. And Jesus himself is going to slay the unrepentant, the unlistening nations that have the gospel preached but will not listen to it. He's going to take care of all of that. He's going to smite them. But in the 13th verse of the 19th chapter, here it is again. The Word of God is his name. He's coming again. The Word of God is his name. And then now I'm going to come and share with you my last point. Now don't get ready. I'm not quite ready for you to go yet. My last point. God is going to send his judging word. God's word is judging us. We can get mad at the preacher. We can get mad at the Sunday school teacher. But long as it's God's word, we don't have a right. Now he comes to a word in the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse. It's a Hebrew's word. Is kritos, and it appears nowhere else in the Bible except right here in the same fashion. It is a word that we get the word critic from. We need to criticize. We have a right to be a critic. About 47 years ago, when I was called to preach, I got an awakening. I'm preaching because God called me to preach. And I was told that I was fixing to be criticized. Hey, who gave you the authority to criticize me as long as I'm preaching God's word? Well, we got a right to be a critic. You know, the Word of God is upon each and every one of our lives. Now, God's Word always peers into our lives. Have you ever gotten down and played peep-eye with a kid? Or you get down behind a chair or something and you play peep-eye? Well, what I'm saying is, God is always peering into our lives no matter where we are. You can't get behind a rock that God doesn't see you. You can't get behind a tree that God doesn't see you. You see, God observes us. What is he seeing? God judges us, and how much judging is he doing in each of us? God is helping us to determine what is right and wrong. I don't know about you. Everybody else can go home, but I'm going to stand on the Word of God. But I think the Word of God is right. I know it's right. I'm going to stand on it. Sometimes things happen and they're so good. Sometimes things happen and they're bad. Sometimes things seem like that they're just simply, life is just perfect. And then something goes wrong and we're made to wake up. It's not as perfect yet as we thought it was. But my friends, every one of us here today, I may not have said a thing that applies to you, but right here is your critic, and it speaks to us. It is the standard by which we're going to be judged. Hey, I got to be judged just like you are. But in Matthew, every time I read where Matthew says, woe unto you, woe unto you, I feel so helpless. Because the time is going to come when God is going to say, woe unto you. You were supposed to have done this, and you didn't. A lot of people feel that when the time comes to stand before God, they can make a plea. Lord, you understand, don't you? You understand, don't you, Lord? You know, some of us have lived in the 20th century, some now living in the 21st century. Some have lived since the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2018. What are we going to say? Are we going to say, Lord, those were changing times morally? People were changing. Ethics were changing.
Lord, you know those were changing times that I lived in. You know that. You understand now, don't you, Lord? Do you see where I'm coming? You understand now, don't you, Lord? Yeah. You know what I was going through, Lord. How many people are going to be disappointed when they stand before God to be judged and the family tree didn't have nothing to do with it? The century that we lived in had nothing to do with it. Hey, I've heard all my life, I'd like to have lived in the good old days, in the 30s and 40s and 20s. No. I live when God put me on earth. You do too. And the thing is, God's not going to judge us by our faithfulness to the times that we lived in. He is going to judge us by what we have done by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Now, I wasn't going to, but I believe I will. I wasn't even going to sing an invitation again this week. It didn't last Sunday. But today I think I will. Because, Lord, there's not anyone here that doesn't need you every hour of every day.